Hello?
Blog Talk
Hello?
Radio.
Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Alive to Thrive. That was a small selection of Tea for Two with Ella Fitzgerald. Welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. So happy to start off April, a beautiful month of spring. Everything's blooming here in the Midwest. We got tulips and daffodils and lilacs and just everything's popping. And part of that freshness is to get back to the earth, get back to organic gardening, think about farmers markets, which are starting this weekend at many places around the state and around the Midwest. My guest today, Molly Neesham, is a woman I met a couple of years ago through Rona LaCoco of LaCoco House. Big shout out to Rona. She runs a beautiful bed and breakfast on North 5th Street in St. Charles, and she had a little tea party and invited me and some friends, and we got to sample some excellent tea, the best tea I've ever had in my life. And then I learned that some of these teas actually can improve your health. Certainly we know that drinking tea is a good way to reduce stress in your life. But Molly actually will be sharing her story today about how she discovered tea, not only for the taste and the relaxation, but really to improve her health. And now it's a part-time business for her. And we sell her teas exclusively at Butterfly Moon Gift Shop in historic St. Charles. And she has just so many heartwarming stories. So welcome, Molly. How are you today?
I'm pretty good today, yes.
Really good. Well, sorry for the little delay. We had a little technical glitch starting the show. But well, here we are. And here you are, and you're kind of an old-fashioned gal. You dress up in some historic clothing. Talk a little bit about sometimes how you present yourself and present your teas.
Well, sometimes I go with the theme of old St. Charles, and I dress up in an 1820s, what do they call it, the Regency period dress with my hat, and I explain how teas come from and the different countries and the many benefits of tea.
And so how did you get introduced to tea, either, you know, for health reasons? Is that how you got introduced to the tea?
Pretty much. I drank tea through college basically to stay awake. I got turned off to coffee when I was little, when my dad gave me a sip of his coffee and I burnt my tongue. So I had a bad feeling about coffee. So I drank tea. But then a few years ago, I had some medical problems and my mom had the same problems and my grandmother had the same issue. And my great-grandmother actually died from it because they didn't know how to treat it at all. And so I was looking. My mom had surgery for this issue, and it's got to do with your gallbladder and the liver, and it turns out it's a congenital disorder, and it's called Crohn's syndrome or Crohn's disease. And so I was trying to avoid having to go have surgery. So I went to an acupuncture doctor, and then they gave me this tea that tasted, well, it had all the taste of like warm Listerine, and it made my house smell bad.
So you sort of were turned off on that version. So then what happened?
Well, my husband urged me to find a something that would not stink up the house, and I really wanted it to taste better because it was helping me a lot. And so I researched on the internet, and I talked to herbalists and people, and I found a blend of herbs that was similar to what the doctor prescribed, and it actually tasted good. And so then I called it my mommy tea, because I'd say it's for women only, because men kind of don't get it.
sort of. Menopausal tea.
Yeah, more like that, yeah.
More like that. And I mean, I think a lot of women associate tea with their mothers. I mean, my mother and I would stay up late talking around the kitchen table and drinking cup after cup after cup after of tea. And, you know, all those little memories of her teapots and her teacup collection. And, you know, those were special mother-daughter times. And so what are some memories you have with your mother? Your mother was quite an accomplished woman, and I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about your mother and about tea time with your mom.
Well, I never got to really have a lot of tea time with my mom, but she was a physicist at NASA, and we used to, like, sit on the front porch and do calculus. kind of
not a typical memory.
I mean,
teacups and lace, but calculus.
Yeah, and she worked at NASA for like 47 years. She had one of the best-selling computer programs at NASA, even though they give it away for free. You need like a PhD to figure out how to work it. But we did some crazy things. Yes.
Was a brilliant scientist, and her reports and many, many papers on thermal dynamics and various things can be, live on, thanks to the internet, but thanks to the things she accomplished. And what do you think some of the values she instilled in you, just as a person and as a woman, what values do you think you got from your mother?
The importance of community and caring for other people. She was a scientist but she was always helping people. Like we would make Easter baskets, or we would take our computer punch cards and we'd make wreaths at Christmas time and give them to people. And she was always doing things like that. And she helped out at the orphanage, and she was a very giving person.
Well, and you are as well, and you do a lot in the community in addition to running your business. You're president of the chess club. Again, that's not something typical when you think of a tea lady, a tea lady dressed in 1800s St. Charles garb. You would excel at sort of mathematical things. But tell us about, you know, what do you get from being part of the chess club? I mean, that's a whole other part of your life. You have taught your kids, you've taught other kids, you've been in education, you've done the, sort of the home nesting thing, but tell us a little bit about your love of chess.
Well, I started playing chess when I was pretty little, and my first chess tournament, there was a guaranteed women's prize, and it was my first tournament, and turns out there was a blizzard that day, and I made it to the tournament, and I won the women's prize because I finished the tournament. But my husband and I, we started the chess club, and on our wedding cake, we had a king and a queen chess piece and little pawns around it. Yeah, so I like to play chess. It keeps your mind young. It helps prevent Alzheimer's, and I think it's good for children to learn how to play so they can get out some of their emotional, like, anxieties or aggression. You know, you take it out on the chessboard instead of beating somebody up. I mean, it's great.
Well, there's nothing like...
Well,
there's nothing like conquering your opponent's king and being in a checkmate position. I also learned chess at a young age, and I really appreciate that because I think it taught me analytical skills, and it also taught me how to lose gracefully, but also how to think 3, 4, 5 steps ahead and do some planning and not just play a game that might be, you know, all chance. There's real strategy and thoughtfulness that goes into chess. So it has been a way to reduce stress as well for you.
Well, sometimes. Although I can't play my husband in chess because we're way too competitive. So we don't play much, but we study together and work on it. That helps.
Very cool. Well, there was at the recent TEDx event the one in St. Louis, they broadcast the TED event from Vancouver, and there was a world-renowned woman chess player. I'm not sure if you know who she is. She's in the elite level. She can play 20 people at one time blindfolded. Do you know who I'm talking about? I think she's from Ukraine or something. She's from Eastern Europe. Anyway, I'll have to share that video. She's amazing, and her story was quite compelling. So, you know, we're talking about stress and strategy, and, you know, I think in life people have so much they think they have to do. To stop and play a game of any kind, it might be seem like luxury or might be something you only do on vacation. But really, if you take time, whether it's to play a game of chess with your child, you know, you're having bonding time, much like having a cup of tea with a friend or with someone in your family, whether it's mother-daughter tea or just some girlfriends getting together at like a bed and breakfast like we did at La Coco House, or we also did that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then we did that at Butterfly and Moon just before Christmas. We had a holiday tea party with all the trimmings, holiday Christmas cookies and sandwiches, and we had a nice little turnout. And you did a really excellent presentation there about the history of tea and different ways of serving it. There's brewing times that are different for the black teas as opposed to the green teas. But let's start with some of the history of tea, some of the things people may not know about tea. I mean, how ancient it is. What can you tell us?
Well, Tea has been around a long time, and there's quite a few varieties of tea. Even if you categorize it, you know, as black tea, there's dozens of kinds of black tea, and there's all kinds of green teas and all kinds of white teas. There's even red tea and yellow tea. And in the ancient days, some teas were so treasured that they used them for money. And so you would pay for your goods in tea. And that's one of my favorite teas. It's called a Pu'er tea. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
P-O-U-R. Or P-U-R.
P-U-E-R. Yeah.
P-U-E-R.
Some people put an H in there to not get it confused with other things.
Well, I think people, you know that, you know, the history of tea goes back thousands of years before Christ. The oldest, I think, was like 2700 BC in China. And the cute little story I found was that there was a Chinese emperor sitting under a tree while his servant boiled some water, drinking water, some leaves from the tree blew into the water, and so it was sort of an accidental infusion there. And whether that was the true story or not, I mean, tea has been revered in countries like China, where there are, and in Japanese culture, where there are tea ceremonies and a lot of rituals. Have you been to China, or have you been to a formal tea house?
Well, I've been to a tea house, but I haven't been to China yet. But I do teach geography, and one of the countries we studied was Turkey. And it's kind of interesting that tea is very, very popular in Turkey, more so than coffee, you know. And I think of Turkish coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they also have Turkish tea, and there's these tea houses that are springing up all over, and they serve their tea. It's a red tea, and Turkish tea, and they serve it in a glass, and you have to, and it's socially proper to clink your tea as you stir it up, because you put in like a lot of sugar. And if you walk by one of these tea houses, all you'll hear is this clink, 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 clink of them stirring their tea.
So that's kind of interesting. So many cultures have various tea ceremonies and tea rituals, whether it's in a more formal setting like in Japan. I know they had a Japanese tea house in Boulder, Colorado that I had been to, and you could sit on pillows, and you know, the whole ceremony of it is very spiritual in some ways. And and then tea started growing in Europe only maybe in the later half of the 16th century. But I guess it was, what, the traders from the Dutch traders that brought the tea to the U.S.
Right.
and America?
Yeah, the East India Company. Mm-hmm. And that's the rumor has it from the book that I read in your shop there, that about the history of the ice cream cone, or beyond the ice cream cone. That's what it is. And about the man from Ceylon who supposedly invented iced tea, even though there were recipes that predate that, because it was so hot in 1904. They served, and he had all this hot tea, and so he served it over ice, and it was a hit.
It's interesting too, because prior to that time, the 1904 World's Fair, that's what that book's about by Pam Vaccaro, tea was a drink for the wealthy. It was, you know, expensive, and I remember, you know, I've seen movies where a little cube of tea, you know, was highly prized, and I know the frontier people here in the United States, you know, would have a little cube of tea and lock it up. They would lock it under lock and key. And now it's a more common drink, but it was very highly prized and highly treasured. Mm-hmm. And it seems like maybe we're getting back to that a little bit. I know the tea we have at Butterfly Moon, we have it in a very funky London telephone booth, sort of not locked up under key, but certainly you want to keep your tea in a sealed container, reduce the amount of light or oxygen that gets to it because it is organic. And so how do you store your tea and how long can tea last?
Well, if you keep it out of the sun and out of the light, you keep it in a tin or actually put it in, like I have it in foil bags, and I keep it downstairs so that, and tea will last you like 2 years. It depends on the tea. Some of the lighter teas, they'll still be good, but they won't have as much flavor after, as time goes on, especially if they've been in the sun.
So it's interesting about the health benefits of tea, because we have a lot of research on this now and about the benefits of antioxidants and a lot of the tea, and I want you to talk about that here in a minute. But it was funny because in doing research for this program today, they didn't have the medical research that we have now, and they were worried, wealthy philanthropists were worried that excessive tea drinking among the working class would lead to weakness and melancholy. It was probably they were worried that they would relax and not be working 14 hours a day, but, you know, that's hilarious. But tell us about the research you've read or just the power of antioxidants in the diet.
Well, antioxidants are, help you, well, they build your immune system and cut down on inflammation. Tea that I'm promoting in April is, I call it black and blueberry, and it's got red clover in it, which is a, besides being nice and sweet, makes your tea taste good. It reduces inflammation, and so you can think clearer and you have more energy, and so you can get more out of your tea. Plus, it tastes good. I know it tastes good.
It tastes great. And so it has blackberries and blueberries. And do you make your own blends, and do you blend them in a certain room that you have for blending? Or do you do that in your kitchen, or how do you do that?
I usually do it in my kitchen because I like to be up around where everyone is. And but sometimes I need to focus, and so I'll go in the other room and work on my teas done in my kitchen. And I've tried things, and I'll try, does this work with this? And then I blend it and taste it. I go, oh, no way. And I have to dump it out and start over.
So but, you're the first taster. And then you get feedback from, I'm sure, your customers. And I know you do farmers markets on Saturdays. And then we have tea tastings on Sundays often at Butterfly and Moon over in historic St. Charles. And you usually provide a hot tea and a cold tea. And some of the teas that you have brought in for tasting as cold teas, you know, surprised me because I only thought of them as hot teas. But they tasted surprisingly delicious as a cold tea, and that would be like chocolate mint or dreamsicle. But how do you know which tea is suitable for iced and which one's suitable for hot?
Well, it's a matter of taste. And experience. The chai teas should be hot. I've tried them cold, and it's No, it doesn't work. But like the black and blueberry, it's awesome as a hot tea in the morning, on a cold morning. It's really good. But then tried it over ice, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this is still amazing. So it's a very versatile one. Mm-hmm. But like the Dreamsicle, I don't prefer it when it's hot. I love it when it's cold. And it's the one the kids in our homeschool group, they like that one a lot. And their moms let them drink it because it's healthy and there's no caffeine in that one. So
awesome. So very low caffeine. And what are some other teas that are low caffeine? I know the green teas, right, are low caffeine?
Right. The black teas have the most caffeine. And then the green teas, some of them are high in caffeine, but most of them are lower than the black teas. And then the white teas are even less caffeine. They're very light and very light teas. Work great as an iced tea. And
so
then the rooibos.
For people
yeah.
that are concerned about having caffeine in their diet, they should drink white teas, such as, is the pear tea a white tea?
Yeah, the pear tea is a white tea. And then there's rooibos, and there's a green rooibos, which hasn't been roasted. So it has even more antioxidants. And that one would be the strawberry peach. It's like, it just
would you call
says
that
Missouri
white
all over it.
Is strawberry peach a white tea or a green tea?
It's a actually a red tea.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it has no caffeine. It's totally decaffeinated.
Okay. So zero caffeine.
So it's like
okay.
Dreamsicle.
All
like
right.
Dreamsicle. Dreamsicle doesn't have any caffeine.
All right. I guess I was mistaken to think. I thought Dreamsicle had some French vanilla in it. Oh,
the French
okay.
vanilla is a black tea, yeah.
Oh, okay. So people can use tea to relax. They can use tea to improve their thinking more clearly, more energy. Mm-hmm. Of course, things with antioxidants like any of the blueberry or the cranberry, any of those kinds of teas have a lot of antioxidants and reduce the effects of free radicals. And I love this story mm-hmm. of how to illustrate this for people that may be new to thinking about antioxidants. I mean, I've thought about it a lot because of my knowledge about mangosteen. But if you cut an apple and you leave that apple on a dish, that apple will start to turn brown. That's oxidation, and that's what's happening in our bodies all day long. And so we have to reverse that process with having antioxidants and getting them from a variety of sources, whether you drink it as a tea or drink mangosteen juice like in a Zango bottle, or you eat fresh fruits all day long. I mean, you need a lot of antioxidants, more than people think, on a daily basis. But tea is coming into its own renaissance. There's stores popping up in malls called Teavana. Mm-hmm. And I think now people have an appreciation for the gourmet tea, so to speak. But it really all starts with sampling. And I think once people try it, even people that think they're not tea drinkers, they try it, they're thrilled. And for me, drinking tea is a way to help control my sugar cravings. If I have a cup of peppermint tea in the evening after dinner, I'm less likely to snack on candy. And if I have tea in the morning or in the afternoon, I generally drink my tea plain. I used to drink it with sugar and milk growing up when I was little, but now I just like the flavor of the tea and I want to taste the flavor of the tea. But when I was going to Starbucks and getting lattes, first of all, that's 400 calories, and then it's a lot of cream and lactose, which my body doesn't like. So, you know, there's a lot to be said. If you're trying to lose weight, then switching to tea from coffee might be an option for you because It's going to help control those sugar cravings and give you something to do. But it was funny because also in the research, they were talking about how they really promoted tea drinking during the temperance movement, during Prohibition, as an alternative to drinking alcohol. And I never knew that's where the word teetotaler came from. I thought that was so funny. Teetotaler came from having tea instead of alcohol. And that's a good thing, too. You know, why not? But there are formal teas where there is sandwiches and champagne and all kinds of stuff served at some of the finer hotels. I remember going to High Tea at the Four Seasons in Washington, D.C., and a lot of the nice grand old hotels when you travel, like Brown Palace in Denver, and there's a beautiful place in Memphis. I forget the name of that old hotel, the Peabody, I think it is, in Memphis that has high tea. But it doesn't have to be a fancy occasion. It can just be your friends coming over, or, you know, any kind of social. With Mother's Day coming up in May, it's a great time to have a tea party and introduce young people. I love introducing young girls to tea parties because maybe they haven't ever experienced one. And there's so few tea houses around the St. Louis area. Unfortunately, we lost Miss Aggie's Tea Room. And we recently lost Alice's Tea Room on Main Street, St. Charles. But there are places popping up in St. Louis. What is that one in Clayton or Central West End? Have you been to that one?
No, I haven't.
Okay. But the history
there's one out here in O'Fallon. I can't remember her name, though.
Yeah. The history of tea in tea bags is fairly recent, and I didn't realize how recent that was. I guess I thought tea has been coming in tea bags for a long time, but it really only was in the 20th century in America, and then in Britain it only took off in the 1970s. That's very recent history. But some of your tea you do hand-packed in tea bags. Now, your tea bags look different than what people may think of with, like, a Lipton tea bag. Tell us about your tea bag, and, I mean, how do you hand-pack tea bags?
Well, I have – well, they come packaged flat, and then I put the tea in, and then I have a heat sealer that goes across the edge. So it makes a pyramid of the – to pack the tea with a string on it. And then the tea has room to really infuse into the water instead of when you put it, you squish it as a powder and you pack it with a machine and the factory, a full leaf tea, it tastes so much better than the powdered stuff you get in a bag. Put it that way.
I know. It's completely different. And people are surprised, I think. What kind of feedback have you received when you've done tea tastings?
I people that say, they come in and they say, well, I'm not a tea drinker. And I said, well, just try it, you know, see what you think. And they go, this is tea? And they really enjoy it, and there's so many varieties that even if you get one that you don't like, there's another one that you will like. And you know what I mean?
Yes, and so everyone has, you know, different kinds of taste buds and taste things in slightly different ways because people are either acidic or alkaline. In fact, a lot of Americans are really acidic in their body's pH because we're meat eaters and we're eating a lot of foods that increase our acidity, but we need to be more alkaline is what I'm understanding. And so, you know, you can eat a lot of fresh vegetables and that helps, but from what I understand, you can also drink tea, and that would help. Is that correct?
Right. Tea has a balancing effect. It can have, plus it has a cleansing effect, so that if you're not eating as well as you should, it helps to get those toxins and nasties out of your body so that clean itself. I mean, we take a shower and you wash the outside like every day, but your insides need to be cleaned out sometimes too.
Well, that is true. And there are teas that are for cleansing purposes that I have a tea that I drink, and I call it my sleepy time tea. I drink it just before bed, and I sleep like a baby, and then it has a cleansing action. But it helps with your gut and exercising your gut with, you know, as we age, our gut gets lazy. And just like all the other flabby muscles in our body, you have to do things to, you know, work that out and get some junk out, like you said, clean out the pipes.
Right. If you never changed the oil on your car, how long would it run? You know? I mean, every 3,000 miles you have to change the oil. And so if you're running on old oil, your body is like trying harder to function. And then you have the tea, which is, it's all natural, so the body knows how to handle it. And it can clean out rough edges.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your business name, Thankful a Tea. That's cute and clever. And I know your values are perfectly aligned with Butterfly Moons in terms of bringing people together and building community. Tell us about your business name, Thankful a Tea.
Well, first of all, I wanted to be Thankful Tea, but it was taken. Because I wanted people to focus on being thankful for things that they have and to give encouragement to one another instead of criticizing and cutting each other down. And I think it's so much more beneficial for everyone. You know, we can to build each other up and to like grow instead of, you know, this. It reminds me of when I was little and I would have fights with my sister. Never happened, right? Siblings never fight. But my dad had our punishment was to stand toe-to-toe and eye-to-eye and try to stay mad. Well, it just didn't happen. And we usually, when we took the time to listen to the other person and their viewpoint, like over a cup of tea, then we can build each other up. And while we may not agree, we don't have to fight about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it's a way for coming together. Just, I mean, again, that sounds like what they did in Asia, where if you had a disagreement with someone, you met for tea, and you talked it out, and you were civil about it, and you were polite, and you didn't raise your voice. You exchanged ideas, and I think tea is a great neutralizer. You know, I wish some of our elected officials and candidates would sit down and have a cup of tea because it's gotten too nasty out there. But in your family, with friends, you know, and face-to-face, I mean, I think so often these days everyone is relying on texting and social media. And as much as I love those things, it's important to build the relationship in person. And so tonight we're having a private little party in St. Charles, and I know, Marley, you're coming and hopefully bringing some black and blueberry tea to share. But it's important to get together with your friends, your community of support, and it's like breaking the bread. It's, you know, having that cup of tea is bonding. And you know, and if you're going in to any kind of surgery, you know, plan ahead. Come to the store, come to Butterfly and Moon, or call us, 636-493-1121, and ask us what is the best tea to be drinking, you know, as you recuperate or as you're going through, you know, maybe you're preparing, this is, we're coming up on wedding season, you know, and weddings and funerals bring out the best and the worst in people, it seems, in families, which, you know, might be spread out around the country. They get together and, you know, at first it's all happy-dappy, and by the end of the weekend you're ready to kill each other. But to plan ahead and have some tea. And if you want a special tea blended, Molly is more than happy to blend certain flavors. We've been brainstorming on various flavors, and I had asked her about a yellow rose tea because I'm in Zante International, and the yellow rose is one of our symbols. And she has created a yellow rose tea that will be the featured tea for May. And the Red Hat Cha-Cha, the Red Hat Cha-Cha Chai, which is sort of a little bit of a play on words with the Red Hat ladies, but Cha-Cha Chai being one of those teas we talked about earlier, is that the chai should be hot. Is chai a black tea?
Yes, this one is a black tea. Some chais, I mean, you can get a rooibos chai, but because the word chai actually just means tea, but it's in American or English, it's come to represent an Indian tea, the Assam tea, and it has spices in it. Some chais are really peppery, spicy. The Red Hat one, it's got cherries and spices and cornflowers. It reminds me of a Red Hat lady, nice and spicy and active and
colorful.
Fun.
Yeah. Fun and
colorful.
Active, yeah. What are some ingredients that are really hard to get? Like, you know, are the cornflowers hard to get? Or what are some of the ingredients that are very difficult to find, good quality ingredients?
The cornflour is very light and delicate, and it. But I love the flavor and that it and the smoothing that it does to the tea. It's kind of hard to find, and a lot of places when you go to a place that sells tea in bulk, they won't have it because it sticks to the jar. It's like flower petals, you know, and if you put it in a plastic cup or a plastic jar, it will stick to the side and you don't get it into the cup. So some
so the
of the things
of using
that are
glass, okay.
Right.
It.
So it's important to use glass, or some of the teas like chamomile. I always put that in bags because it or an infuser because some of infusers it will stick in those little holes, and it's really hard to clean. And I do a lot of tea, so I need to be able to not.
And so the infusers are really fun. There's not only an Eiffel Tower and a strawberry and a pear, but our best-selling infuser is the Mr. T, which looks like a little man, and you put the tea in his pants and then stick him in hot water and he holds on by his arms. Everyone gets a big laugh out of that. What other infusers do you carry, Molly? You have manatees?
there's a little squirrel. There's a little house that says tea on the side. That one's kind of cute. There's a rocket ship. I always bring my rocket ship to shows and things because my mom and NASA have that link. And What else is there?
And there's the dog, the pug.
Yeah, the little pug.
The little pug dog, and we just sold one of those recently because the lady said, oh, my friend has one of these dogs. She's going to love this infuser. A lot of people really love the Eiffel Tower. We also have a rose that's a yellow rose, or it also comes in a red rose. And the pear is also beautiful. You can the pear, the fruit is the, what opens, and you put the tea inside of it, and then the stem is a 4 or 5 inch long stem that you can use as the stirrer. So kind of hard to describe
right.
that, but it works really good because then you can lift it out real easily of your teacup.
Yeah.
And
that's
yeah, I find you can get
I like
two
the pear.
Cups. Yeah, you can get two cups off of that one infuser mm-hmm. sometimes. And they do sell cups that are like infusers built in, or like a French press with how do you like those? The ones that are similar to a French press coffee cup but are used for tea.
I use that because I make pitchers and pitchers of tea. And I have a very large one, and you put the tea in, and then it has a screen and a filter. So after it's brewed or steeped for 3 to 5 minutes, you set it on top of your cup, and the tea falls down into your cup, and you can reuse the leaves and make another pot, or you can put them in your garden and recycle them because it's organic material, and which is good for your plants, so you can grow more mint and more tea.
Now, I just love the story that you taught high school students about starting and running their own micro businesses, because I think that's something that more young people need to be exposed to. As you know, first of all, it's the new economy. More people are starting their own businesses than, you know, it's not like it was back in our mother's day where some people would go to work for a company for 30 or 40 years. People now are starting their own home-based businesses. There's certainly a lot of tax benefits to having your own home-based business. But what was some mm-hmm. of the points that you made with those high school students? Because they actually apply to anybody, especially women who might be approaching empty nest or a transition time in their life, and they want to perhaps start their own business. What did you tell those students that is some good advice to starting your own business?
Well, to start small, don't expect to make $1 million in your first year, but to start with a plan, and it doesn't have to be really complicated, like, who are you going to sell your product to? And we spend a lot of time on ideas and what you can do, because they're teenagers. They have never, most of them had never had a real job before, and so they don't know what it's like. And so we taught them how to do some simple bookkeeping. How do you have to keep track? How do you set your prices to make sure that it's worth your while to do this, you know? And it was really cool. I had, one of the students, she taught piano lessons, and she had her own little piano studio. The people would come to her house, and she would use their piano, and she taught them piano. Another one, a young man has a landscaping business, you know, with a lawnmower and a snowblower, and he does people's driveways. And couple of guys, they wanted to start a potato chip business, and they made flavored potato chips, cheese or oil or spicy, and they had fun with that.
Oh, that's great. I think it's important to, dream big, but start small, and certainly start with something you love, whether it's tea or art or writing a book. I mean, that's one of the things we try to bring out with people at Butterfly Moon, is to celebrate and uplift women artists, women exploring their potential, whether it's having their own business or creating something. And you're like an artist, but with the tea. And you're very artistic with coming up with the covers of these little mini tea tins that if people just want to sample five or six cups of a certain flavor of tea, they can get a little tea tin. Each of those tins has a different design, but they can collect those. They can also get the tea in a jar, or they can get it loose in a little bag or packed in tea bags. So it comes in various configurations, and just such a nice gift for Mother's Day, birthdays, or just a thank you gift for someone who you just want to say thanks for helping me out, or thanks for being a friend, or thanks for just being there when I needed someone. So we will be doing another tea party with Molly coming up in the next few weeks. And she is generally found on Sundays at Butterfly and Moon, and on Saturdays at the St. Louis Farmers Market, and also at the Artist Market. So that's Saturday mornings, April through November. So gets a little chilly out there, I'm sure, early in the morning. So if people want to stop by and get a cup of hot tea, Molly will be there in Lake St. Louis starting tomorrow, right?
Right. Tomorrow is opening
2nd.
Day.
Hard to believe that farmers markets are starting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. That's how I met, I actually met Rona's daughter there, and then she, that's how I set up the tea party over there.
At Rona's, and then I met you, and so the rest is history, and so it goes. And coming out in the May issue of Streetscape Magazine will be a little bit of an article about Molly and her teas, and I think they're also doing an article about tea houses as well. So make sure you pick up the latest issue of Streetscape Magazine or find it online at streetscapemag.com. You can read the issue online if you're not local to St. Charles. And we want to thank you for listening. We're going to close out with an announcement. Thank you so much, Molly. We'll be seeing
you soon.
We're going to close out with a short announcement about the UMSL Digital Conference coming up in a couple of weeks. I believe it is sold out, but they will probably be streaming parts of this digital conference. So check it out.
Where can you hear the latest in tech, innovation, digital, and social from such thought leaders as BuzzFeed, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Pandora, Refinery29, Adobe, Google, Yahoo, and more? At the largest Midwest Digital Innovation Conference around, MDMC16, an UMSL College of Business production. Mark your calendar, April 21st, Union Station, St. Louis, Missouri. Register at umsldigitalconference.com.
Tens of weeks, tens of days, won't happen.